From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Out of Spiritual Death. The text is Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 13. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Indeed, it must be so. Those who receive life from the dead are sure to recognize the hand of the Lord in such a resurrection. This is the greatest and most remarkable of all changes that a man can undergo. To be brought out of the grave of spiritual death and made to rejoice in the light and liberty of spiritual life. None could work this but the living God, the Lord and giver of life. Ah me, how well do I remember when I was lying in the valley full of dry bones, as dry as any of them. Blessed was the day when free and sovereign grace sent the man of God to prophesy upon me. Glory be to God for the stirring which that word of faith caused among the dry bones. More blessed still was that heavenly breath from the four winds which made me live. Now know I the quickening spirit of the ever-living Jehovah. Truly Jehovah is the living God, for he made me live. My new life, even in its pinings and sorrowings, is clear proof to me that the Lord can kill and make alive. He is the only God. He is all that is great, gracious, and glorious, and my quickened soul adores him as the great I am. All glory be unto his sacred name. As long as I live, I will praise him.
Jehovah. Praise
your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he proceeds with this study of the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message entitled The Elements, Ends, and Effects of the Gospel, an examination of verses 23 through 31 of chapter 3. As we've seen, salvation is by grace, it is a gift, and it is by blood. These are its indispensable elements. The end of the gospel is to declare God's righteousness, which, as Dr. Cairns has said, is the righteousness which Christ earned by his death on the cross and which God imputes to sinners who call upon Christ for salvation. The effects of the gospel include the exclusion of boasting, the final demonstration that salvation is not by the works of the law, that the gospel is for Jews and Gentiles alike. Finally, the gospel of free salvation does not eliminate the believer's duty to obey the moral law in his behavior. Now to conclude this message, The Elements, Ends, and Effects of the Gospel, here is Dr. Cairns.
If you're saved tonight, it's not because you deserved it, but because Christ deserved it for you. Then there's a note of conclusion, verse 28. I love this verse because the Council of Trent almost quoted it to condemn it. And that's why I know that Romanism is not the gospel. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That's it. That's the conclusion. Paul is saying, now have you followed me from chapter 1 right through? Have you learned about human depravity? Have you learned about God's wrath? Have you learned about God's curse? Have you seen God bring the whole world and pronounce it guilty and under his curse and wrath? Have you listened to me as I've explained the gospel, as I have expounded the way of life? Now, if you've understood all that, here's the conclusion. We're justified by faith without works. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's it. I'm naked, but I look to thee for dress. I'm guilty, but I look to thee for grace. I cling to Christ alone. That's Paul's conclusion. And then he has a note of inclusion in verse 29. This is a gospel for Jews and Gentiles. I'll sum it up in one word what he's saying. Since there's one God and one Christ and one gospel, the righteousness revealed in the gospel is necessary for all men, Jews and Gentiles. It is suitable for all men, Jews and Gentiles. And it is sufficient for all men, Jews and Gentiles. There's one God. There's one Christ. There's one gospel. There's one way. That brings us all on to one level playing field here. Whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are, morally, spiritually, or in any other way, this is the way of life. There are no exceptions. No exceptions whatsoever. Every one of us will either be saved this way or will never be saved at all. And then verse 31, there's a note to remove all confusion. We don't make void the law by this doctrine of faith. That's what we're always being told. Rome has been preaching this for centuries. Even Protestants have fallen into the same pit. If you believe in justification by grace alone, through faith alone, without works, then you're saying that you'll be saved even though you live like the devil. Paul takes this up a little later in chapter 6, actually, in more detail. You're an antinomian. You're denying the law. No, Paul says, far from it. We establish the law. Let's be honest tonight. Have a look at your own life. How has the law of God ever been honored in your life or mine? Except it will be honored in inflicting its sanctions and its sentences. Has God's law been honored by your perfect obedience? With all our religious works, have we honored the law of God? Not at all. Where will you look on earth to find the law honored in its proper dignity? One place only, and that's in Christ. There's a beautiful picture of this in the Old Testament. I've mentioned this in other connections, but it's something that always fascinates me, how the types of the Old Testament are so perfectly fitted to the antitype in the New Testament. You remember Moses went up into Mount Sinai and he came down with the tables of the law. As he came down, he heard the noise of the idolatrous revelings of the children of Israel. And Moses, in his fury, he smashed the tables of the law. God had written those tables with his own finger, and now they lay shattered because of man's sin. What happened then? God took him back up into the mountain, and once again the finger of God wrote the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone, and God sent them down, and those tables were taken. And where were they placed? They were placed inside the Ark of the Covenant. What is the Ark of the Covenant? It is the perfect picture of God's Son incarnate, Jesus Christ. Where do you find the law perfectly kept? In Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. Nowhere else in all this earth. In Christ, the precept was obeyed. In Christ, the sanction was fully upheld, for he died to fulfill and pay for the breaking of the law. Let me tell you, my friend, when you get to the gospel, it glorifies the law. It shows its holiness. It shows how unbreakable its sanctions are. It shows how unavoidable the holiness and the justice of God are. It sets forth the law as a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And then it does something else. And here's where the law takes on a new function that apart from Christ it can never have. The law is a voice demanding hell for every unbeliever. If you're without sin, or if you're without the Savior, should I say, the law cries for the sentence of God against your sin. That law must be heard. Can't be violated with impunity. But here comes a poor believer, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And the law looks at Christ and says, I find no fault in him. And the law looks at the one clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and it says, I find no fault in him. Save him. The very law that cried for our damnation in hell now cries for our exaltation into heaven. It has a new voice as a witness in favor of believers. And for the first time in our lives, it is genuinely glorified in spiritual obedience. Now, Christians are not perfect in their holiness. But I want to tell you, every Christian has genuine holiness. We wish we would fulfill the law more perfectly. But the mark of a person saved without the works of the law, by faith in him who fully satisfied the law, the marks of that person will always be marks of obedience to the law of God. Why? Because when God saves us, true, he justifies us, but he not only justifies us, he regenerates us. He makes us new creatures. And how does he define that in Scripture? He has written his law on our hearts. See, to the ungodly, the law may be in their mind. If I could try to remember Spurgeon's great statement, in the mind it puzzles. To some of them it's on their back, and on the back it burdens. But God has written it in the hearts of believers, and in the heart it delights. And that's why Paul could say, even though I'm not sinlessly perfect, in Romans chapter 7, and only a born-again, blood-washed believer could say this, only a man justified without the works of the law can say this, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. As John Newton put it, I'm not what I ought to be. And I'm sorry about that. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. He has written his law in the heart. So, do we make void the law? Do we tell you you're saved by faith, therefore you can go to heaven living like the devil? You go to, through this world living like the devil, and you'll spend eternity with the devil and his angels. Because the mark of the justifying grace of God is always that it establishes God's law. I have the awful feeling, in fact, it's at a level of certainty, when I go through a passage of this magnitude with big steps and blundering feet, I will raise more questions than I answer. This is a passage for the ages. I want you to look beyond the husky voice of the preacher and the efforts of a man to expound the Bible. And I want you to take home with you tonight this basic truth that Paul has been saying. Make sure you don't only know it in your head, but that it has gripped your heart. This is the gospel. That God justifies sinners, acquits them of all guilt, pardons all their sin, accepts them as righteous in his sight. He justifies sinners by providing as a free gift the perfect righteousness of Christ, which he makes over to their account and which they receive without any merit or any work, simply by faith alone. Understand that. Let it grip your heart. Make sure tonight that after God has given us such a gospel, you do not make the cardinal error of still trying in some way to get to heaven by the works of your own flesh. Grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone. That's God's way. Make sure you're in that way tonight. For there's no other way that will lead to heaven. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for a great Savior, for a wonderful, wonderful sacrifice, and for a glorious salvation. We thank thee for justification as the free gift of God, the righteousness of Christ imputed to us to make us perfectly acceptable to thee. Thank God we cannot add to the righteous merits of Jesus. Thank God they are enough. O Lord, we pray, turn our eyes upon him. Save souls from wandering down the road of self-righteousness to everlasting destruction. Lord, bring the lost by faith to Jesus. Feeling their sin, may they look upon the Savior and find there's life for a look on the crucified one. We ask thee, Lord, to continue with us. Bless our fellowship in the other building. Sanctify the food provided to our bodily use. Sanctify our conversation. Make it joyful but edifying. gracious and glorious. Be with us there, and then take us our several ways in safety. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us, and give fruit for our labors in Christ. We ask, giving thee our thanks, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.